Vincent Alcoholic. Thank you for having me. And I wanted to thank, can you guys hear me? Yeah, I wanted to thank my wife for coming out here with me. January 13, 2014, my sobriety date. PG is my home group, and John G is my sponsor. Yeah, it's crazy. Driving out here kind of gave me a little flashback of everything. Just, you know, kind of in the boondocks. And where I live and where I fell in love with, but a lot of memories. And it was crazy. It was like, it was feeling like Stockton, and it was feeling like Sacramento, and it was like Chico, and it was like Oroville. But yeah, so my family came from Laos. My parents went through the war, the Vietnam War, and went through the struggle, and, you know, jumping into rivers, crossing rivers, losing brothers and sisters due to the war, just so I could get this life in the United States, and, you know, so I could become somebody. And here I am, I'm an alcoholic, right? And disappointment. I got 5 sisters, 2 brothers, and I got 3 moms. And my dad rotates every night. My dad was never really around. We shared. I mean, I got 5 sisters, and I got a brother that we share one room with my parents, you know. So my dad was like, there's too many kids, so he got to, like, shift around, you know, just get his thing going. But I didn't have a bed. I didn't have no room. You know, we lived with the cockroaches, with the rats, and it was hard. At times, it was like, you know, your mom and your dad would go to the grocery store, and you would get a whole bunch of bags, and your brothers and sisters would like hide certain things, and where you're like, hey, I swear we bought some ice cream, but they hid it, you know? And it was a struggle. At times, it was rough for my mom. I didn't understand then, but now that I do, now that I got my own kids and the struggle that I went through, I get it. But my brothers and sisters was always in and out. Going to school was tough. English was my second language. It was hard because coming home from school, it was like, I want to do homework, but it's like, I need help. And it's like, why do homework, right? I go and play outside. And where I was from, I was in Stockton, and at the time where we lived, it was like chaos. You go to the street, it was like 1,000 kids playing. And it's like, that's when I'm gonna go. And I'm doing that, and I'm coming home late, and I'm getting whooped. It didn't matter. Did you do your homework? Yes, I did. But that was a lie. And I wanted to do good. I wanted to be the best for my parents, and of course for myself, right? But then one Saturday morning, my family had a gathering. And, you know, in the Hmong culture, it was like a long table with like uncles and aunties and you know, a feast, and there's like liquors and beers and everything going. Everybody's drunk, and the wife and the daughters and the aunties are in the kitchen cooking. You know, they do everything, and then they sit at the table, and then the guys eat, and then they eat last. You know, everything in our culture, the guys come first, right? But so. That afternoon, I asked my dad, and I said, Dad, is it okay if I get a soda? And my dad was like, no, we don't drink soda in this house, son. We drink beer, you know? And it was an old Budweiser, you know, the throwback Budweiser can, and it was warm, and my dad handed it to me. He was like, this is what we drink. We drink beer. And I can remember taking that sip of that Budweiser, and it was so nasty. You know, it was like nasty and bitter, and like it was warm, you know, and I'm like, ugh, give me the soda. And my dad's like, no, we don't drink that. And I got that feeling, that warmness, and I was feeling it. And I was like, man, it's nasty, but I'm going to get this. So I stole a 12-pack. I stole a 12-pack, and I went next door to my brother's house, and we lived in the duplex, and kids running around everything, and my nephew and us, we was all drinking. And I remember coming in and out of like kind of like a blackout, and my older brothers had me fighting my little nephews. And I was getting whooped, you know, and I'm like, man, this is my little nephews, and I'm getting whooped, and I was getting mad, and I was like, you know. And then the next day that I could remember, I'm like, man, that's where it's at. And I chased that. And at the time, I was like 8 years old, and all the fun kids, like you said, the cool kids, has everything. They got the 40 ounces, they got the OE, they got the Mickey's, they got the 64 ounce bottle with the little handle, you know. And I was so small, it was like, help me out, you know. And you gotta sip it. And, you know, they had the weed, you know, they had the one with the stems and a lot of seeds, and it was like a dime stack, but then after you break it up, it was like a joint, you know. You know, it was like a joint, you know. And back then, they had that, and they had the green bud, and it was skunk bud. And I remember in Stockton, had the best skunk bud, and I loved it. And I wanted to be a part of that. And my brother and my family and everybody was involved with gangs. And I don't want to be a gang member, you know, but I got to be a part of that to get that, right? So I'd pretend like I was tough. Yeah, of course. And of course, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, right? And I got jumped in, you know, the quick 30 seconds, and oh man, I remember it was the longest 30 seconds. But and I got involved with that. Long story short, man, I chased all that. I wanted to be everything like my brother. I remember they told me to stay outside of this house, and I'm watching them, and they're taking all the stuff out through the back door. You know what I mean? And it was like, now I know it's a home invasion, right? And you know, at the age of 8, and I'm looking at my kids, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy, right? And kind of bring that to that, going to school, I wanted to be that kid, right? I wanted to be that kid my parents want me to be, become that doctor or that lawyer that they want me to be. But I'm like, not this Asian kid, you know? I mean, reading was hard. I mean, I couldn't read. I was that class clown, you know? And so kind of fast forward to that, right? Always fighting in school, always like acting like I'm going to school, ditching school, coming home late, getting whooped, didn't stop me. And it's just being wanting to be with my friends, my homies, so-called friends, right? And it kind of brought me back to that where, you know, drive-by shootings and all that to our house, and you know, gunpoint to my mom, you know, like, where's your sons? And so we got to move, you know, and it didn't matter where we was at. And we moved from Stockton to Sacramento. And from Stockton to Sacramento, it didn't matter because we moved straight into our other families and cousins. And they're doing exactly the same thing over there. But the thing is, I'm a little older now, and I'm like, what, 12 years old, and I'm thinking I'm a grown-up. And that didn't stop me. Now we're breaking into cars. We're joyriding. We're going everywhere. We're getting high-speed chase, getting bit by K-9 units, you know, with the dogs and all that. And it's crazy because at the age of 13, getting dropped off every day at school and never went. And it was always ditching. And when I did win, it was like fighting in school. I couldn't function. Although, like, I wanted to be that best, the best son, and that best kid, and the best student, but I can't because there's always something going on. If I stay in school, there's fighting. If I don't stay in school, we're ditching, getting chased by school cops, you know, and it's crazy. And due to that, at the age of 13, right, I think I just turned at 13, and bless you. And my dad and my mom was like, man, you gotta stop doing what you're doing because you're gonna end up dead. You know, stop hanging out with your friends, always at the park, coming home late, and you're 13. And I'm like, man, I'm 13, mom, you know, I'm old enough. And she's like, all right then, well, if you're a grown up, then all right, we'll start paying bills. I'm like, all right, so I left. And, you know, I was living in abandoned houses and jumping from friends' house to house, jumping through windows, my friend's mom and dad's home. We're like sneaking in. And just drinking, and I was a kid, man. I like sleeping at alleyways and all that, you know. And there was this park down the street, like right here to the door, that we kick it at. And you know, keep in mind that I was up for about a week, drinking, barely eating, and you know. Sitting there, and here comes these enemies of mine. It was like 15 of them, and it was like 7 of us. And there was a rumble. And, you know, guns went off, and I got shot, right? And I'm like, man, I don't know where to run to, right? So I ran home, right? So I ran home, and I'm bleeding everywhere. And I snuck in, and my mom's in the kitchen, and I snuck into like the living room, and I'm like laying there, and I'm like, ugh. I'm like dying, right? I'm like, I'm trying not to let my mom know, right? And then, and my mom's like, hey, you know, she was sweeping, and she's like, I thought you moved out. And I'm like, I did, you know? And she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I got shot. And she's like, what? What do you mean you got shot? She's looking at me, and then she just started hitting me with the broom. Bam! Bam! I told you, stop going out there with your friends, and I told you, you know, stop being a thug, da 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 da. And I'm like, okay, and, you know, I'm bleeding everywhere, and I'm dying, and I'm all right, you know. I was just taking it to the chin, and my dad stopped her, and I was like, stop, your son's dying. He's bleeding everywhere. And then right then and there, my mom collapsed, right? I mean, come on, this is her youngest son, and I'm 13 years old. And I remember feeling the bullet tap me, right? And I felt it like right here, but then I thought it went through. And I blacked out. And my brother woke me up with he was shooting back, guns went off, and I woke up. And I remember sitting there in laying there in the hospital, and it's just like the movies where they're ripping your clothes off and all that, and I'm floating away, and I'm seeing my body, you know, and I'm seeing my family crying in the waiting room, and I'm seeing my friends at the park plotting, and then I woke up in the middle of surgery, and then I wake up, you know, and after what, 3 months in a coma, in and out, and not knowing that what I put my family through because of my disease, and it didn't matter what it was. All I could think of is that next drink. I'm like, what could I do to get away? But I was loving this morphine, you know, that it was giving me, and I was loving it. And I couldn't reach it, and I keep telling my family, I'm like, I need more, you know, and I keep passing out, you know, because I loved it. But I wanted that sip. And that next smoke, the next hit, you know. And I'm like, I promise you guys, I'm gonna stop. I'm so done. You know, after this, I promise you guys, I'm gonna be that perfect son. I'm like 3 days out, you know, because a whole bunch of my friends, you know, 40 ounces, you know. We're drinking, we're smoking, and I got like a little poop bag, you know, with a little wire that's coming out, and they're like, here, man, you hold on to this gun. And I'm like 98 pounds, and I'm like dying, and like, I can't even hold it, you know. They're like, come on, man, let's go get back. And I don't want to. I just want to sit. I just want to kick in and drink. I just want to kick in and smoke and get high, and that feeling of that ease, you know, just get out of my head. And here comes my mom, you know, please don't leave, please don't leave. And here I am. I'll be right back, mom, I'll be right back, you know. And I take off, and I'm doing the same thing again. you know, I needed money. I can't get a job at that time. And it was tough, just continue hurting my family and lying. And so I found out the plan, my family. So our culture is, so the next move is, if your son or your daughter are doing bad, or they need a husband or a wife, right? So you could buy them. So in our culture, you could buy as many as wife you can if you got the money, and as long as you could like put up with the wife, right? And so I got married at the age of what? I think it was like 15, 16. And I'm like, yes, I'm gonna get with her so they can get off my back. This is my plan, right? And so when she came home, we're like, okay, yeah, let's do the feast and all that. And I'm like, okay, look, you stay here. And I snuck out the window and I left her. And, you know, just so my mom would get off my back. And to do that, you know, it didn't change anything. I'm still that piece of crap. I'm still that liar. I'm still that fiend. I'm still that alcoholic. And I still think that I'm a thug. At the same time, I'm trying to be a husband. I'm trying to be a son. I'm trying to be a brother. And I don't even know how to do all that, because all I want is the next drink, right? And the next smoke and the next hustle. How am I going to come up? And kind of fast forward to that, right? At the age of 16 to 17, I had got her pregnant. I got my daughter, and we was at a friend's wedding, and guns went off again. Here it goes. Bullets flying, you know, life flashed through my eyes again. I got shot in the wrist and stomach. And this time, I was like, man, I ain't gonna make it. And I sat in a coma for 6 months. And I woke up and I was like, where am I? You know? I'm laying there, and I'm in this coma, and I'm walking with this person. And it was like I'm back in Laos, and I ain't never been there, you know? And like, it's this person I'm walking with, and I'm like talking with, and I'm like, who are you? And he was like, I'm your grandpa. And I'm like, well, you know, I never met him, but I never seen his face, and I can't see his face. And we got to this house, and he was like, you sit right here for a second, and I'm gonna go inside, and I'm gonna check and see if, you know. He came back out, and he was like, okay, look, tell your dad that we're not ready for you. And that's when I woke up from that coma, 6 months later. And it was crazy how that worked, because you're thinking that I would be done, and all the lies and the drinking and the smoking, and just, you know, it would stop. And all I could think of is like, man, how can I get out of this? How can I get home? How can I get out of this hospital? You know, but I'm loving this morphine. I'm loving this morphine. You know, I'm trying to tell my family, hey, give me a bottle or something. And that's all I could think of. And here I come again. My mom's in the ER room with me, because her youngest son is dying, and that didn't stop me. It didn't faze me at all. All I could think of is the next hit, the next drink. It didn't matter what it was. And that's how my disease was. So I got out of the hospital. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna be that son again. I promise you, mom, I'm gonna change. I promise you, wife, I'm gonna change. Here I am, you know, going to the county. Got involved with some of the friend was cooking dope at the time, and I got involved with that. And did a little bit of time for manufacturing, and you know, thinking that, you know, that would stop me. And it's crazy, I gotta bring this up, because that's when I met my wife here, you know. It was like a co-ed county, right? I shot her a kite, you know. I shot her a kite, and I'm like, you know, pick up the kite, you know, the guard's right there. And I'm like, you know, and she picked it up, and she read it, and she shot it back, and she's all, ain't you married, you know? And I was like, come on, we're just killing time, right? And at the time, you know, and I shot it back. I'm like, we're just killing time, da 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 da. And I'm like, so what are you looking at? And she's like, I'll do a couple calendars. And I'm like, yeah, me too. And she did hers and I did mine. And things didn't work out with my ex-wife. I left her and she got out. I heard she got out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get her, you know. And you know what I mean? Words on the streets, you know what I mean? Yeah, she's out, you know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go get that, you know. And instead of that, right, she came and found me, right? She came and found me. And we were both on the streets. It was crazy. I was going to shoot at her because, I don't know, in the hood, you do not ever bust a U at a person, right? A car busts a U, you got to, you know, you're going to shoot, then they're going to shoot you, you know? And then, you know, she jumped up, she gave me a fat hug, you know? And I'm like, who is you, you know? I'll try to play it off, you know? But she's like, look, so I wrecked my car at the time, true story. I was on my bike and I was slaying and I was doing my thing and I was stacking, you know, I was stacking. I thought I was so cool, you know, and man, she said, I'll drop you back off. You know, I swear, I promise you, I'll drop you back off. And it's been 23 years later, she haven't dropped me back off. You know? Yeah. She's a liar. She's a liar. But yeah, so that's, you know, but yeah, so we met, you know, and it was crazy because now I'm like, yeah, I'm safe, and I'm safe, I'm cool, I'm like relaxed, right? I was like relaxed. I was up for like, I swear, like a month, you know, at the time, and just drinking and using on the streets, just hustling nonstop. Going out of state, coming back, you know, and just doing all the things that I wasn't supposed to be doing, and in and out, and I did a little time in prison, and I got out again, and that's when the cops kicked down the door, the CPS took our son, we got into a program. We got into a program, and we got our son back within a year. We got our son back, and I was trying to do good. I tried to stop drinking. I stopped smoking, stopped doing drugs, and I couldn't, you know. Like, I'll be doing good, and it's like she would send me to the liquor store to go get, like, a gallon of milk, right? And I'll see my best friend, and he was like, hey, man, what you doing? I'm like, man, I gotta bring this milk home, you know. And he's like, nah, man, come on, man, I got this. Come on, man, I got this hustle. I'm like, 5 minutes? He's like, yeah, 5 minutes. And I'm gone. And I'm gone. And like I swear, like a couple of weeks later or whatever, or a month, and I come back and I'm like, you still need that big gallon of milk or something. It's just, and then she would get mad. And I'm like, why are you mad, you know? And I'm like, this is why I don't come home, you know? And she's tripping. I'm out, you know? And here I am again. And I'm out there. And she calls me. She calls me and she said, you know what, Vincent? This is your last chance. And I'm in the middle of a trip of being and we're waiting out stuff and count money. And she's like, this is your last chance. If you don't come here at your friend's house, then you're done. You ain't gonna see these kids ever again. And I'm like, dude. And I grabbed everything and I'm like, I don't want those money, I want my kids. And I grabbed the drugs and I grabbed the weed and I'm like, I'm out of here. And I ran and I threw it in my trunk, stopped at my friend's house and I threw the weed out and I forgot about the dope. I tucked it, she don't even know about this. I tucked all the dope on top of the light and I stuck it all in. It was like a half pound of crisp. And I rushed through because I'm trying to get this. This is my last chance. I'm gonna lose my kids. I'm gonna lose these kids. And I'm going, and I'm like, man, shall I go through that street? And I'm like, man, no, we don't ever make that turn because, you know, there's that task force, you know, game. And I'm like, man, and I turn, and there they are. They saw me, and I told my friends, I'm like, I ain't pulling over. This is my last chance to see these kids. And I smash, and I'm taking them around my neighborhood, my hood, right? And I'm going, I'm ditching them, and all my friends are like, man, pull over, pull over. I'm like, this is my last chance. you see my kids, and it's in my head, and I stopped, and they didn't jump, and I, the cops found me again, and I took off, and I went so fast past my friend's house that they wasn't there yet. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I gotta go one more round, so in case she comes and she could see me, that I made an effort. I made an effort to come and see my kids. You know what I mean? And I went so fast that she wasn't there, and I'm like, man, I'm ass out. And right then and then, at the time, I made a decision. I'm like, man, I'm so tired of it. I'm so done. Man, I want change. And if I make that left, I would have got away, and I'm probably just barely getting out, or probably dead, shoot out. And I hit that dead end. And I sat there for a second. Both of my friends jumped down. They got on their head. And I'm like tucking my guns, hiding stuff. And they found me, man. They were beating me up. Why'd you run? I'm like, I don't know. I hesitated. They whooped me. So I'm looking at a little time. You know, I got priors. You know, they try to hit me with gang enhancement. And she's like, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm done with you. And I'm sitting there. I've been in the county for about a week or two. And I'm like, I made up my mind. I'm like, I'm a program. Start working out. You know, start getting a little weight now, you know. And I was sitting there, and I was sitting on the bedside. My best friend, he's, you know, rest in peace. He threw me the Bible, and it was Psalms 38, and I read it that night. And I read it, I got on my knees, and for the longest, I had this resentment against God. I hated God. Like, I remember I prayed to God that, you know, just get me and my family out this ghetto, please, you know. And he never made that, and that's not how prayer works. And I got on my knees that night, and I'm like, for a long time, I haven't talked to God. And I'm like, God, if you're really up there, or if you can hear me, please be getting me out of this one. Like this one. I promise I'll change. And I lay down that night, I had a dream. My ancestor was poking me with a knife. I was laying in a coffin. And I think the seed I planted that night. And on a Friday, the next day, they released me. I don't know how a person like me, they don't release me. It was on a Friday night, and they released me. And I ran home. I mean, everything that I had on the streets, like, that I had ever came up on, I'm like, dude, you guys can have it. They're like, no, you'll be right back. Don't trip. And I'm like, dude, I'm done. I'm out of here. And I told everybody, I'm like, I'm done. I got home. I'm knocking. And she opens the door, and she's like, they let you out? I'm like, you ain't happy to see me? She's like, whatever. So I told her my plan. I'm just like, look, this is what I'm going to do. She's like, whatever. She's so tired of it. And my sister was working at the Midnight Mission downtown Skid Row at the time. And I kept bothering her. I was calling all this program. I'm doing it myself. She tried to force me into a program. I'm like, no, I don't want to go right there. No. Because, you know, the inside of it, you know, that program was not honest, you know. Kids was sneaking drugs in and selling drugs in there, and I didn't want to be in there. And I wanted to do something different, away. And I called my sister. She gave me this phone number, Dom Haffenberger. At the time, I called for about 30 days, a couple weeks. And she's like, yeah, you really want this, huh? And I'm like, yeah. Be downtown sober Monday. And that was January 12th. And I drank my last beer with my dad. I told my dad, I'm like, Dad, this is going to be the last beer I drink with you. And he was like, shut up. Drink. You know. And now he you know, he was like, man, I miss drinking with you at times. You know, they'll take shots and all that. And I'm like, Dad, this is the last beer. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Just keep drinking. I went the next day, pull up to downtown Skid Row. And you see all these homeless people. They got tents in the front. And, you know, people catching butterflies, you know what I mean? And I'm like, dude, this ain't for me. I'm like, I'm out of here, you know? And I made that promise to my God, my higher power, and I went in, and it didn't matter what it was. They say jump, I jump. They say sit down, I sit. And it wasn't easy. It was tough, because I went in there thinking that it was like prison, where you get a lot of respect and like, oh, your space is yours and all that. No, you got sick people in there, sicker than me. And a couple of times I almost got into a fight, but I didn't let that bother me. But in my head, I'm like, I got so much to lose. If I fail this, I'm doing time. And I went to PG. My friend tricked me. He said, dude, there's so many Asians there, bro. Just freaking go there. I swear, bro, if you don't like it, you could go back to doing what you're doing, bro. And I'm like, all right. So I went there, and I'm like, dude, it's PG. You know, there's a number of white people. And I'm like, dude, you're freaking smoking, bro. And I went there, and I met my sponsor, Mike Fujiyama. He's no longer with us. Rest in peace, Mike. And, you know, he walked up to me. I thought he was banging on me, and I thought he was about to get down. He was like, man, here's my car. And I'm like, I'm your sponsor. Call me. And I'm like, all right. And I didn't know what it was, but I wanted to try something different. I wanted to do something new, because I didn't know new. I didn't know. All I know was grab that sack of dope, or grab that sack of weed, and let's double this. You know, or you came up 10 G's. All right, come on, man, let's go re-up and let's double that. That's all I know. My world was so small. And now, and I'm like, man, I'm calling Mike, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. I'm doing commitments. I'm doing 7 commitments, 7 meetings. I'm working in the kitchen. And 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm waking up. I'm going to meetings. I'm jumping through hoops. I'm in a PG play. They got me auditioning. They got me auditioning to be my friend Gabe called me and was like, Vincent, bro, hey, we need you to audition this, man. Dude, you might not get it, bro. Just show up, please. And I went there, right? And I'm like the only Asian, and the part was a Chinaman, bro. And like, and I'm like, Gabe, did I get it? I'm like, I didn't even do anything. He's like, yeah, bro, you got the part. You know? And I'm like, man, I ain't doing that. He's like, just do it, bro. I do it for me, you know? And I kept that promise, and I wanted to do something different. And, you know, I'm up there, you know, supposedly I'm a gangster, right? And I could, you know, up there, we're dancing, clapping, singing. Like, come on, bro. The only thing I do is 2 steps and C-walks, right? And it didn't matter. And I did it. You know, I didn't feel right, but it was something different. And something changed. And after my 4th step and 5th step, and it was over. And it planted. And, you know, I did the yard. I don't know if you guys know the yard. I did the yard. I did the moves. It was weird. I did everything. I had a yard party. I played softball. I played softball tournaments, sober softball. And it was crazy, because I'm like, I'm gaining all these friends, and then my friends back home was like, dude, you turned white on us, you know? And I'm like, it ain't about that, because what it is, I'm the lucky one. I'm the lucky one. They can make fun of me all they want, but this is what they want. And I attract a lot of my friends, and I brought them here, and a lot of them made it, and a lot of them still here, and a lot of them is gonna get deported, and because of our past. And due to AA coming to AA, and I had met Clancy, I had met Steve Watson, I had met all the guys there, and I got letters, and I kept going back and forth to court. I got letters from people from the Midnight Mission, you know, Clancy, and I went to court. And it's saying that the DA was like, man, you know, they know me since I was a juvenile. And, you know, I'm that piece of crap. And they're like, nah, man. He's like, normally they'd be like, no, Mr. Thor is bad to society. You know, he's going to get the max or whatever, right? And I'm like, man, I'm done. You know, it's like, whatever. Whatever happens, happens. It's in God's hand. And the DA turned to me and said, Mr. Thor, no matter, we just want you to resume in your program. And right then and then, like, I wanted to do a high kick, but I had to wait, right? You know, I play it off like, you know, my wife was right next to me, and I was like, you know, that gangster look. And so I got to the hallway, and I'm running, and I'm like, woo, you know, and they're like, I'll lock you up. You know, the cops are like, and it was the best thing in my life, man. That's how I knew this program works. My higher power got my back. And I went back, and I continued doing this. And it ain't the easiest. And it's hard at times, you know. And it's bumpy. And somehow, I don't know how I did it, my wife helped me and I got my diploma, right? My daughter was like one of my teachers. She was teaching me. She was like 6 years old at the time. And she was like, show me flashcards. And, you know, come on, I ain't smart. You know, I represent that. You know, I can't read right, you know. And she was teaching me, and, you know, I got my diploma. And Kim Sutherland at the time, she was like, Vincent, how you doing in school? And I'm like, I just got my diploma, and this is what I want to do. I want to become an iron worker. You know, my friend Jan is an iron worker, right? And he's like, bro, I can't shave for prison, bro. Like, I'm a lifer, man. This changed my life, you know. He's a white boy, you know. I'm like, all right, let's get it, you know. And I signed up, and I told Kim, and Kim introduced me to the slideshow downtown. All the union workers was invited there, and she emailed me, and I was invited there, and I showed up early. DTA that taught me, I showed up early and shook hands. And they didn't want anything to do with me. But I showed up in early, and I sat down, and Kim showed up with her friend, and he represents the union, he does. And he took me around, and I shook hands, and now all these union CEO was like, oh yeah, that kid, I met you already here, here's my car, and due to AA. You know, the guy was like, look, call me every day at 5 o'clock. And I call him every day at 5 o'clock on the dot. And I got into the union, I became an iron worker. And I got a chance to build a SoFi Stadium, LA, LAFC, Clipper Stadium, and, you know, bridge, high rises. And the first time when my boss was like, hey, kid, I want you to go up there and I want you to go grab that LN25. And I'm like, you want me to go up there? And I'm like, you know, it's a high rise, you know, like 100, 200 feet up. And I'm like, this a prison, right? This a prison with death. So I'm like, all right, let's get it. And it was, you know, and I got involved, and, you know, I got my kids back. My wife was like, hey, your kids wanted to move down there with you. And I was like, let's get it. Let's do it. And she was like, she's like, well, what about me? And I'm like, oh, you coming too? You know, I was like, you coming too? All right, you know. And it was hard because, you know, I'm a liar, and I hurt her, and I'm a cheater. And it was hard for her to understand what we do here at that time. And I'm like, all right, well, if you don't believe me, come with me. And I took her a couple times at that time, and she was like, this is what you guys do here? And she's like, I'm like, come on, let's go to the meeting. She's like, nah, I'm good, you know? And then now, but some days, I get it. What I put my wife through and my family through, right? Sometimes, I mean, I know she checked the tracker, you know what I mean? Like, is he really there, you know what I mean? And I get it, and I understand that because of the cause and the damage that I did in the past and what I put her through and my family, and I respect that. And to all the ones that are suffering or is newer than me, man, a person like me, I mean, I know we live in a different areas and a different place. I know we went through the same thing, you know, the struggle. 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm laying there in the midnight mission at the time, and I got this phone call from one of my friends. But I was supposed to have a phone, but I had a little burner still because my mind was like, I'm gonna get this heat off of me. And then once I get out, back to the streets is what I do, right? And my best friend got into a high speed chase on his motorcycle, and the cops shot him. We really don't know what happened, but they found pellets behind him. They shot him, lost control, they took his helmet off, they beat him to death. And his sister shared some pictures with me, my best friend. This is my ride or die, right? And this is the way we picture to get out. We ain't never tap out. The way we're gonna die is we're gonna get a high speed chase or a shootout, or prison or die, right? My friend went out that way, and I had probably like 8 months at the time. And I'm like, man, right then and then, another eye opening, a spiritual awakening. And I went to his funeral. I showed up, seen a whole bunch of friends. it was supposed to be a closed casket and it was open. And it's, and I looked at my best friend and I'm like, I'm gonna live life for us. All my dear friends, all my lifer friends, I'm gonna live life for us. And for myself first. And I'm gonna do it for God. And everybody that's suffering, I'm telling you, no matter what it is, don't drink. No matter what it is, keep coming back. And no matter what it is, show up. And that's all I got.